When I was a young adult, I remember my father repeating this story that his father was born before cars existed. And probably that means before there were any roads. And then by the time Grandpa died, he was 95 years old, and we had put a man on the moon. And so my dad was overwhelmed about the amount of change that had taken place in our world in those less than 100 years of his own father's life. I remember this when last week I had a young mom and her 10-and-a-half-year-old daughter in my office. And the mom and I were talking, making some plans. And the daughter was waiting and feeling kind of bored. And so she sat down at the desk and she picked up the handset on the telephone and put it to her ear. And she had this really startled look on her face, and she said, "Here, it's ringing." And I grabbed it thinking that maybe she had picked it up right when a call was coming in and maybe somebody, you know, was speaking. And so I held it, and then I just started laughing because it was dial tone. And this was a girl who lives in a house without a landline and has never heard of dial tone before in her life. So her mom and I had a good laugh about that, and I realized there are so many things that our children today don't know about, and maybe some of you might not know either, about mimeograph machines or electric typewriters or dungarees or capizios. And yet there are so many things that our young people do know which you and I may not have been aware of or even been able to imagine in the first 10 years of our lives. Our children go to school with other children who were born in Russia and China and the Philippines. They have friends who are Muslim and friends who are Jewish. They are aware when something tragic happens on the other side of our planet. And they know about school shootings. And I think they know about poverty, that there's poverty everywhere in our world. When that little thing happened in the office with the telephone, I wanted to spend a few minutes explaining to this 10-and-a-half-year-old what is dial tone. And as I began to tell her, she quickly said, "I'm really not interested in hearing about this." And so upon reflection of that remark, I realize that I really don't want to spend a lot of time talking and explaining the past to our children. Because what I want our children today to know about is their own future. I want them to know about love and about the eternal qualities of love. I wonder if kids today know that they are precious in the eyes of God. Maybe, or maybe not, because of course, sometimes you and I don't even know that we are precious in the eyes of God. And sometimes we forget that we indeed are God's gifts to one another. We are the manifestation of God's love in our world. I'm encouraged by this passage from Isaiah, which ends with the prophet reminding us, "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands," reminding us that God has compassion for all who suffer and that God will never forget any one of us. The gospel lesson takes this a little bit further, repeating that message of God's care for us, along with another exhortation of, "Don't worry, don't worry. Don't focus on garnering treasures, more wealth so that you will be secure, have what you need, have what you want." The passage asks us the question, does worry add 1 hour to the span of your life? And of course, we are well-informed people who know that worry, medically speaking, is harmful to our lives. But then who can live without worry? I haven't met that person yet. The gospel message to us today tells us to seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And then in so doing, all of the needs of our lives will be provided for us. You are inscribed in the palm of God's loving hands. And God invites you and I to seek God in all that we do, with all of who we are. And then says the Gospel of Matthew, all things will be given to us. So today, I'm struggling with this challenge of engaging my faith, putting my faith into gear, and living out this faith journey in such a way as to follow the example of Jesus, to depend upon these promises, these words. What does it mean for me to live the life of faith and exhibit the values of my faith in this world which, though vast, seems to be getting smaller and smaller as I age? There are so many challenges that we all face, many troubles in the world. And I'm sure that each and every one of us is called to respond to these troubles and live out our faith journey in our own unique, individual way. Just like here at St. Paul's, we have over 65 small groups and ministries where people might engage. There are hundreds, literally thousands, of opportunities for all of us to engage our faith, to live out our faith journey in such a way as to follow Jesus' example, in such a way as to exhibit the values of our faith in our world today. So I want to invite you to engage in this struggle with me. I want to talk for a moment about one special opportunity we have to change the world. But I'd more importantly like to invite all of us to continue, especially throughout Lent and on throughout this year, to seek and find ways to live the life of faith in action and in deed. Last October, at our annual clergy conference, Bishop Curry introduced to us a campaign called Nets for Life. You may have seen some pictures up there about them. Further information about this campaign was distributed to us at our diocesan convention in January, and there's an insert in your bulletin today, which if you don't want to listen to me talk, you can read now. I'm not going to give all the information, or hardly any information, from that handout. But I will give you a couple of facts that really surprised me. First of all, Nets for Life is a campaign to interrupt the devastating effects of the disease of malaria. 250 million cases of malaria result in 1 million deaths per year. And every 30 seconds, a child dies from malaria. So when Bishop Curry united us with the Episcopal Church in the United States to join this Nets for Life challenge, he has asked that every enrolled adult communicant in our churches, in our diocese, purchase a mosquito net for $12. In this fashion, the Diocese of North Carolina will purchase 40,000 mosquito nets, and those nets could save, or will save, 100,000 lives. 100,000 lives out of 250 million cases, out of a million deaths. I'm reminded of the story of the hummingbird in the forest when there was a fire. And like all the animals of the forest, they were fleeing the fire, trying to find a safe place. And some of the other animals noticed that the hummingbird was going out of the forest and flying back in the forest and going out of the forest and flying back in the forest. So they found a safe place where they were apart from harm's way and watched the hummingbird for a while and realized that the hummingbird was going over to this little pond and dipping her beak into the water and flying back into the flames and dropping drops of water in the flames. And of course, all the animals started laughing at the hummingbird and said, "Do you think you're going to put out the fire?" And the hummingbird, without missing a flap of her wing, said, "Oh, no, but I thought I would do what I can to help." I'm sure that we cannot eradicate malaria in the next decade, but we can help. There are photos up there that I mentioned, and when you walk out, you can see more clearly what these Nets for Life look at it. And I have one here to show with you. This is a $12 life-saving net that when hung up high and dropped down over a single bed can protect two or three people, or one, however many are sharing the particular bed. Now, I know that there are some of you who cannot afford to add $12 to this pot and buy a net. And I'm not asking that every one of you do that. I also know that there are some of you who could buy 10 nets and it wouldn't really have that great of an impact on you. I don't want us to get caught up in the numbers or how we will complete this. In fact, I want to thank the Christian Social Ministries Committee, both Ann Pilgrim and Melanie Wigney, who are going to explain to us and teach us how we might reach the goal that we've been challenged to reach. 2 weeks from today, during the adult forum, just before this service, they're going to be showing a video that shows about the distribution of these nets and how the education process is going on and more about the impact of this disease. So I hope you will attend that adult forum. But looking beyond this $12 net, what I really want is to ask you to struggle with me today regarding this challenge of engaging our faith, living out this journey, following the example of Jesus. I hope we can find ways together that exhibit the values of our faith in the midst of our growing and changing world. When we come here on Sunday, we are fed. We are fed by our relationship with God, and we are fed by our relationships with each other. We are fed by the beauty of worship and by the wonder of music. And we are fed by the bread and the wine and the mystery of God given for us. And you have heard it said here many times that our lives are transformed as we are fed by these many things in these many ways. So I'm wondering, for myself and for us, where does that transformation lead us? We go out into the world and we bear the love of God to others. I'm sure we have countless opportunities every day to extend welcome and peace and love to other people. And as the gospel lesson reminds us, we also face the troubles that come with each day. What I want is for my faith to dominate, the troubles of the day. I want my faith to guide me and strengthen me when I feel weary of those troubles. I want my faith to give me the wisdom to see beyond temporal or earthly challenges so that I might more easily and readily take on heavenly challenges. If all are welcome in God's kingdom, then how is it that I might extend that welcome to everyone I meet in my lifetime? And is that what I'm called to do? If God suffers as you and I suffer, then what are my hands and arms and legs, my thoughts and my actions meant to do to share with God in easing the suffering of others? And is that what I'm called to do? Will you engage in your faith journey to find the ways that God is calling you to respond? Will you believe with me that having faith can lead to engaging with that faith day in and day out and sharing in the vision, the mission, the dream of God for our lives and for our world? Like the hummingbird bringing drops of water into a forest that is aflame, we too in faith can help as we bring God's love and God's care to our world.